Hi and welcome to the Corporate Life Podcast. My name is Hina Siddiqui and I loved and hated my corporate jobs for years. This podcast is going to empower you to go high on your career without losing yourself. I invite you to join me each week as you will hear real cool stories of the real cool corporate people doing real things in the corporate world. And their experiences and advice can change your story too. Hi, this is Hina Siddiqui and you are listening to the Corporate Life Podcast. Do you ever feel like you are stuck in a rut at work? Like no matter how hard you try, you can't seem to come up with any new ideas or solutions. Plus monotony, I know that's killing. Well, what if I told you that the key to getting unstuck might be as simple as unleashing your inner artist? Today in this show, my amazing guest Keith Nelson and I are going to talk about and show you how using creativity can help you break through mental blocks and find innovative solutions to even the toughest problems. Keith is an academic with a dynamic systems approach to his work. Keith's research crosses boundaries between various fields such as developmental psychology, educational psychology, communication disorders, linguistics, art education, dynamic systems, cognitive psychology, creativity, environmental toxins, and evolution. Keith is a Harvard graduate and a PhD from Yale, and also received Benign Intervention Award for his amazing work. I'm super excited to start this conversation. Hi, Keith. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah, it's so good to see you today. And we are going to talk about creativity, which is such an essential ingredient in anybody's success. So this show is for corporate professionals. I keep on saying that. And corporate professionals are going to learn a lot from you because you are a creativity teacher, right? So I think you are the best person to teach us some great ways to be creative in our work.
Thank you.
My first question to you is, that you seem to suggest that when we are stuck, not moving at all toward a key goal, it will help us get unstuck and break through if we retreat into nature for a while. What do you mean by that? And how does that work, Keith?
Well, I think that it's important always to explore different areas. And, you know, lots of people have that advice, but do we really do it? Do we do it at a deep level? And for people working in a university setting, a corporate setting, a medical setting, you know, all kinds of careers, then we can get so caught up in our plans and goal. Then usually nature is a big contrast with that.
Yeah.
So I like to sometimes use my fingers and say, here's a model. Many things need to come together. Many different things need to be mixed together to really get powerful results. So if we go into nature, that's the first if. And if we leave our goals, our frustrations behind us, right? If we are truly open to what's there, then we're almost guaranteed to see something new. Yeah. And if we do it often, not just, you know, once, but if we make it a habit, then gradually we're going to build up patterns about nature. You know, how do those clouds move? How do those birds move? Mm-hmm. What's going on with the waves and the wind? And so our mind will just build up patterns, which are a kind of a toolkit.
Yeah.
Because the richer our patterns from nature, the greater the chance that then when we're thinking about a totally different problem, how are we going to market a product? How are we going to persuade a colleague to really join in what we're trying to do? Then we can borrow patterns from nature that we don't anticipate that they're going to be useful. We don't know how they're going to be useful. But if we richly build up that reservoir, our toolkit of patterns from nature, then it's really going to feed in. It's going to surprise us in how we can think about other problems or corporate problems.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I see that nature is the perfect piece of creation because nature is always creative. We can see trees growing in a certain way and not doing so effortlessly, right? It doesn't take any effort. And when we are I also believe that when we are sent into the world, we are a very creative person, individual or creation of God, the universe. But when we come into the society, we learn the patterns, we learn the rules, and we try to imitate the people around us. And in that whole process, we lose our creativity.
I think I totally agree with what you just said, Hina. I believe that everyone has the gift of creativity.
Yeah.
And at the same time, like other gifts, we have to nurture it. We have to give it a chance to bloom. And one of the ways is to explore something that's outside our usual patterns. And nature, you know, is just one illustration of that. Some people have solved problems, all kinds of problems, as consultants by bringing together a mix of very different people. Opera singers, right?
Yeah.
Opera singers, athletes, right? Nature nuts, you know, but all kinds of different people. It might be, how do we reform the way in which buildings are designed, right? But by not just bringing in architects, right?
Yeah.
Then sometimes you get a clash of ideas, but often you see new perspectives and a new openness. And if nature is really opened, you know, if our hearts are open, our eyes are open, then we come back not only with new patterns, which are very important, but we come back with a renewed spirit, you know, often an ability to be calmer, an ability to really quietly observe what's going on. Try to rush into a solution. And I think that's very important.
That's very important. I love that what you said, that we really need to open our eyes. We need to expand ourselves. But the whole problem here, the biggest challenge I see here, especially in the corporate world, is that people are so busy with their life. People are so busy with their tight deadlines and their work pressure and stress and frustrations and that rat race.
Oh, yeah.
Now the thing is that they don't have time and they are not willing to expand themselves, and they are comfortable following a pattern which keeps them contracted, right? It does not let them expand. So I think that there's a need of a breakthrough. And this is where your book comes into picture.
We all want breakthroughs,
yes,
right? But sometimes we're so grasping for a particular breakthrough that we don't really use our capacities. We don't use, you know, all our abilities to communicate, to observe, right, and to experiment. Not to just say, okay, well, today we've got to move ahead.
Yeah,
we've planned. We've got to logically take the next step and do it. And it often becomes simplistic. Right. I like to use the phrase, many times we choose the best path, what we think is the best path. We choose the best path and we reject everything else.
Yeah.
And then focus. Well, it has the advantage. We're really focused, right? But it has a disadvantage that someone across town or even, you know, down the corridor may have a very different best plan, which really also has a lot of potential.
Right.
So in some ways, it kind of becomes absurd, because what I may believe is the best plan is viewed as nonsense by somebody else, right?
Yeah.
So how do we open up the way in which we try things out?
Yes.
And so again and again in the book, I try to give examples of how people have gotten stuck because they've tried to do something in a simplistic way. They've tried to cut through and decide what's the best path to take.
Mm.
The alternative is to step back a little bit and to be more humble and to say, well, you know what? Somebody else down the hall or in the book I read has a very different idea. Maybe I can somehow try that out. And that seems like, well, how could, if you can choose the best and put all your resources and all your motivation in it and push as hard as you can, of course, that's the way to success.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, usually we don't have all the information. You know, we don't have all the insight. And so the alternative is to admit that and to say, we're not going to take one thing at a time. We're going to say we can explore two or three things at the same time.
Yeah.
We can set up trials of what will move us towards our goal, towards the breakthrough the best. Because we're not really smart enough to know for sure in advance what's going to work. If we divide resources and try out a number of different things and then monitor what's going on.
Yeah.
If we're convinced that we have the best path, then we may just keep going down it without really taking the time to carefully check, is this really working the way we thought it would? Maybe it's working in one setting, but not in another setting, right? Mm-hmm. It might be a very partial success. And another path that we explore might work in another context. So the only way in which we can get more information about what is the best path is try multiple paths. That's recognizing complexity.
Yeah.
Backing away from simplistic solutions is backing away from the ego in us that says, yeah, I'm smart enough. I'm expert enough. I've done enough background research and inquiry and so forth. I can for sure decide what to do.
Yeah.
People get stuck not only for the next month or the next year, but I think in corporate life, in medicine, in teaching, in trying to take care of the oceans and the environment, people get stuck for 3 years, 5 years, 10 years in doing things that really are not working.
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
Yeah, and I also would like to add here, Keith, that people get stuck because they don't want to experiment with their lives, right? As you said very correctly, that they are not experimenting, like they are not trying different things. They are not open to play that game of trial and error because this is so essential. It's like it, first of all, it lets us expand, you know, into our bigger version, like higher version. And the next is that we experience life better when we do that. Otherwise, we are only going to, you know, experience a certain things in life, right? And rest of the things we already are discarding. Okay, this is working, this is not working. So when we are able to and open to, experiment different things, different ways, different paths, as you said, it's going to help us live our life in fuller ways, right? Not just... because I want to work something which works. So who knows that what works for somebody does not work for anybody else?
Absolutely. I agree with that. And the curious thing, the surprising thing is that when you move away from spending all your time on a narrow, simplistic path and you walk into nature or you walk into exploring how a totally different profession is being creative, is overcoming problems. Then when you come back, you have new insights, you have new awareness, you have new patterns, and you have a confidence.
Yeah.
Because you have been learning new things, you have confidence that for whatever your key projects and goals are, that you can do better than you've been doing, right? That you can... you can do new things, right? The way to know that you can do new things is to do new things, right?
Exactly.
And it seems crazy to many people that if you have 100% of your time, basically, and you devote it narrowly to certain projects, that you will be less successful than if you take, I'll just choose a random figure, 80% of your time.
I agree with
70%
that.
Of your time. But then you actively explore and refresh your spirit and your awareness with with those other activities, you actually get more, less time devoted to a narrow, important task leads to faster success. It leads to faster breakthroughs. One time, and I was just doing lots of research as a professor. I'm a professor of psychology, and I work with communication disorders and dyslexia and children's art, all kinds of things. And, you know, we've done, you know, quite a few innovative things. A few of those are in the book Breakthroughs, but not very many because I want to cover lots of different things. A foundation sent us down to the Caribbean, to a beautiful island, and people from business, people from medicine, people from teaching, people from many different backgrounds and different cultures gave talks to each other. So we shared what we knew and what we're excited about in the morning.
Yeah.
In the afternoon and evening, we had no formal talks. We had no formal communication. We went snorkeling. We went sailing. We walked through rainforest. We walked on the beach.
Yeah.
But we talked while we did it too.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a great combination. We were doing, you know, the exploration of beautiful places and nature and sharing that experience. And then when we wanted to talk about something that's on our mind that's related to our work, we also did that. So it's less time. It was less than half of the usual day for a workshop or of a convention. And it paid off. It changed my life.
Beautiful.
I became more creative. I became more successful in the things that I was, you know, most concerned about. But I also tried out some new that I didn't know I had any chance of impacting, right?
Yeah.
So it not only brought me back to my ankles with a fresh spirit, it opened my awareness that maybe it wouldn't be crazy for me, Dr. Nelson, a professor studying language, to explore impact on other areas and to find collaborators, right? So less time on the key tasks that you're already doing now gives you much better chance of significant breakthroughs and feeling happy in life, as you say. I mean, why not have it both? Why not feel less stressed and more happy and more aware and more in touch with other people and make progress on the things that you, you know, have been most concerned with, you know, your whatever your key projects are?
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that. Nature is the best inspiration that we can draw from. And it's so worth it to go into nature, spend time, because I do it all the time. I travel alone. And I spend time near the ocean, in the forest and stuff. I know this is so beautiful experience, such a beautiful experience, and it rejuvenates you, right? We don't really need to watch TV all day long and, you know, be on phone and watch Instagram reels and stuff. We have better things to do, and we need to do that, right? We need to experience nature. This is for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And again, I want to emphasize, I use my hands again, explore as many different areas
as
you can. And when you try something totally new, and it's kind of interesting, but you try something else new and it really brings you alive. Of course, do more of the things that really bring you alive. But in the Breakthroughs book, and probably in many of the things that you've experienced as you know, around corporate life, then there are other people who've done workshops in which people arrive at a bus, you know, expecting, you know, real business insights and data and new suggestions and so forth. And then when they get off the bus, they're told, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to go to the beaches. We're going to go to an amusement park. We're going to do something that opens your spirit, right? A theme that runs all through the book and certainly through our conversation today is that if I want to be more creative in the future, and if I want my partners and people that I work with, maybe responsible for training and so forth, I need to be aware that if I change myself, if I change myself, if I become more open, if I have a richer toolkit of patterns that I'm aware of and that I find interesting, then whatever new projects I engage in and whatever ongoing projects I engage in, I will do better. So if you think about steps along the line that you've laid out you're going to accomplish, okay, well, you can keep track of those. Mm-hmm. But we need to monitor ourselves and say, am I improving myself in the set of skills and awarenesses and openness to communication with other people and an interest in mixing together insight and talents? If I enrich myself again and again over time, then you get cascades. You get cascades of success where you feel better, you're happier, you're realistically optimistic that you can make significant breakthroughs, right? You have those breakthroughs, okay, next level in the cascade, because you made the breakthrough, and you have even more confidence, and you have more interest in exploring outside the key things you're doing, you know, this week, right? You do always do things outside. And as you do even more things outside and more different things, then you become a richer talent, a richer person, and you create more breakthroughs, right? And you, in a way, model that for other people who get caught up in it. So then the people around you are doing more of that, and that cascades into successful, you know, impact of groups of people, teams of people, not just in. I think it's really a fundamentally different way of thinking about.
Yes.
How are we going to go down the pathways towards significant goals? Really important, tough problems for any social group, right? For society as a whole. If we're going to be good enough to crack problems that have been frustrating people for a long time.
Yeah.
That kind of path where we drop the simplicity, we drop, you know, kind of just narrow devotion only what we think is most important. Right.
And it's very strange to me that we often choose complications over simplicity. This is so normal in our corporate world. Like, people just want to, you know, go for complicated things. They think that things come hard way. They think that good things, you know, we can get great things only the complicated way. But this is exactly the opposite.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. And it's one thing to be truly open and to recognize the complexity of how people behave, how the complexity of how the physical world and engineering design works. It's wonderful and really important to learn to take in as many of the complexities as possible. But sometimes, in making the decision, okay, what is a corporate team or a medical team or a teaching team going to do over the next month?
Hmm.
And there's a narrowing down. Okay, we've done our research. We don't have any more time to try to understand the situation better or to experiment. It would be irresponsible even not to put all our resources and all our time into the path that we've chosen. And again, of course, that gives you focus, and sometimes it gives you a burst in motivation. But over time, what can happen is a simplistic path that's considered the best is chosen.
Yeah.
It goes down for a while, and people don't even want to look at where it's not working, because that's a threat to ego. Right? Mm-hmm. You made a hard choice, and you're sure it's going to work. You don't want to look around too much and see where it's not working.
Absolutely.
But reality sets in. And so if it's not working, eventually, you know, somebody's going to come along. And if you don't notice it, they will notice it. So then the simplistic path fails.
Mm.
And then somebody else says, okay, Dr. Nelson, you chose the wrong path. Let's see. It's not working, so I'm going to choose the best path. But if they choose again in a simplistic way. Right?
When it comes to looking for a job, most people get it wrong. they would keep on using their one and only resume to apply for any and every open job position in their industry without getting clear on what's right for them. They would avoid correct and targeted networking and stay dependent on job sites. And the truth is that over 70% of jobs are never posted on job boards or job websites. Plus the wrong and scarcity mindset and lack of self-belief, and this is huge. But unfortunately, most job seekers don't deal with this. And no wonder that they keep on struggling with their job hunt, and most of them will make a compromise by accepting just any random job because they want money to pay the bills, which is a valid reason. If that's you, come join me on my job search coaching program where I guide you through with the right strategy, your mindset upgrade, which is about 80% in all my programs, and taking inspired and focused consistent action. You may book a free strategy call with me. Find the link on the episode page.
I remember distinctly one deaf person who was teaching kids in special schools for the deaf, and maybe an aide, one aide, for the year. And the teacher has a plan, and the kid, in a way, has no choice, right? They don't get to explore other teachers. They don't get to explore.
Yeah.
So the system makes a decision about what's going to happen. And I'm sure that it happens in many, many corporate things too. A decision has been made. And then there's no opportunity to explore, to rebel, to show that something else really works better, right? That's disloyalty, right?
Correct.
Yeah. And so, you know, again, it's a human nature to want to know what to do and to really work hard at it. Those are good characteristics, but they need to be combined. They need to be mixed.
Yes.
With more humble aspects of us that say, well, we often know that there are other possibilities and let's try some of those and then spend the time and money and the hope that we put into a project in ways that are really paying off, and to find out as soon as possible that's going on. And you can't know whether the path you're on right now
is
the best unless you compare it with others.
Correct. And it's okay to fail, right? It's okay to try and fail because it's opening you up. It's expanding you into a different world and different horizons. So this is so important that the society, which has, and I love to say that, society has taught us that it's not okay to fail. It's not okay to experiment, right? You just be in your comfort zone and keep doing things, right? Our families expect us to be, to follow a certain path, and our teachers expect us to go a certain way. And our bosses want us to follow a certain procedure or protocol or pattern. So in this kind of society, how easy it is for the corporate professionals primarily to express themselves, to explore their creativity, to get into their creative version and do something innovative. So what do you think about that, Keith?
Well, I think that you've touched on many things already, and I'm sure you do in your own, you know, coaching and writing. The first step, I think, is just to recognize that there are ways of opening ourselves up.
Yeah.
That will not destroy our ability to be a focused person when we need to be a focused person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And to actually execute a particular plan and see what happens, right?
Yeah.
But we have the capacity to think more openly and to think about, well, how is this path, which has been executed just as planned, working compared with other paths, which are also attractive. Now, some of those other paths, if we actually try them, may be cheaper. They may be more effective. They may more deeply engage people who love being part, you know, of what's happening. And of course, that's what we would like for ourselves, is what we would like for, you know, any members of a project with, you know, working together. We'd like to people to be engaged and delighted at what they're doing and to see the goals being met and to share that with other people. And so when you really get breakthrough successes, you know, to share those and to get other people to try them, but not assume that what you suggest as a couple of attractive paths are the only ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't take it just for me. Mm-hmm. Don't take it just from Hina. You know, compare and don't try to just do the research on the web or, and, you know, group meetings or whatever and then decide, set out on a path with monitoring so that you're not locked into the position where, well, gee, I worked so hard, I considered all the relevant information, and then I decided, right? It's going to work, and that's it, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what a relaxing thing to say. I hope it's going to work, and I really put a lot of thought into it, but I'm going to find out, and I'm going to compare it with something else.
Yeah.
Because if I'm wrong, and I find out fairly quickly that there's a more effective path.
Yeah.
Then, wow. Yeah. Yes. It really pays off, and it pays off in terms of less pressure.
And more enjoyment, more thrill, looking at things with a very different new way. And that, you know, that fosters that zeal within us.
Yes, absolutely. And I'd go back also to a word that I used before. I think it's important to think about cascades of positive effects over time. So dynamic mixes that create certain effects, right, within ourselves, right? We become better observers, better change makers in any situation. And then we have projects where, with other people, we are really succeeding. And there's a cycle where we make the progress. That's great. We compare it with other things, and we choose the best progress. And then we just put it all down, and we go someplace else, right?
Mm.
We go, you know, and do a little karaoke or something, or we go to the beach, right? We go someplace that's for sure very different in terms of the context, and very often very different in terms of any people we're around, or, you know, you say you love going to nature by yourself part of the time. I certainly do too. I love doing that. And I don't think that I've ever wasted time by doing that. Maybe some other people would say, well, come on, why didn't you come and do more? Because I have to be alive. I have to be present.
Yes.
And it's hard work, right? It's hard work to really clamp down, focus, get something done, right? But that's important. Of course, that's important. But the looser we become in our awareness, our awareness just of what's going on right now, but also our awareness of possibilities for what we and other people we work with could try out within the resources, right? Within the resources, it's just a false conclusion. It's a false assumption that there's not enough time in the day,
there's not
enough time in the week to do the kinds of things that we are both saying are very important.
Yeah.
You know, get outside the usual routines, become alive, become aware, build up new patterns. It seems almost magical.
It's magical. It's more about being and less about doing. I believe that when you're being yourself, when you're being in nature, when you're doing things that you enjoy doing, right? So this combination works magic, I think. This is what I love to say, that it 80% being and 20% doing, and people actually are avoiding that being part. So where, of course, you said it very rightly that it's so important to do hard work and stuff like that, though I'm not a very huge fan of hard work, but it's so important to be ourselves, right? To do things our way, in our own creative way. And when we are doing it our way, then in creative ways, then work does not feel like work. So it's more than play.
Exactly. Yeah. And so absolutely. So the closer we can come to feeling fully engaged, alive, like we're playing, doing chores, right?
Yeah. Right.
Not like chopping wood, bam, 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 bam.
Yeah.
But flowing through the experience and being effective. And I'm going to hold up the book one more time because I want to say in the book and in our conversation, a metaphor that I want to use. The book includes many, many different kinds of things. You know, yeah. It has ocean sailing, people being hit by lightning, including my own self being hit by lightning on a sailboat. And, you know, surviving and moving on and being affected by many different kinds of experiences. And so the metaphor I want to be sure that we, you know, briefly address today is a banquet.
Hmm.
Right? So if we think about a banquet of experiences that are covered in the book that show different ways in which people in very different problems got stuck and then got past it. They broke through, right?
Mm.
Oh my gosh, that's how they did it. Oh my gosh, that's how they did it. Oh my gosh, that's how they did it over there. It's like a banquet of food. I mean, I think most of us are happier if we don't choose three things to eat every day.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
We feel more alive.
Yeah.
You know, experience, you know, different things. Of course, things that are good for us, right? But just for the sheer variety and, of course, for the delight in what something tastes like, how it's presented, the context in which it's presented, and so forth. It enlarges life, not to say, well, I'm going to make these decisions. This is what I eat, and this is it. Well, you know, all of life, you know, can be like that. It can be a banquet. It can be, you know, a journey to many different places.
Correct.
And the more places we journey to and are really alive to, again, the more we become an alive, aware person who brings rich patterns into what we do. Steve Jobs once said that there are plenty of people who can do the necessary coding, you know, in a corporate environment. What he really values and looks for is someone who has different experience than the typical, because then they will bring different patterns, different awareness. And they've already shown that they have a tendency to do that kind of exploring. And so they're likely to keep doing it. Right.
Yeah, beautiful. And every individual is unique and brings to the table a very unique gift. So it does not make any sense if, you know, keep copying what others are doing. And because one person is enough in themselves, right? So we don't need to be somebody else. We just need to be ourselves and contribute into this world, our own unique path.
Oh, yes. You know, absolutely. And to appreciate other people for their uniqueness, right? And of course, pooling that uniqueness in any kind of, you know, team effort. It can be virtual. I mean, it can be, you know, across the internet, you know, of course, these days it can be. But any, you know, respectful, truly open pooling of different awarenesses, different talents, different personalities, right? They need to really be, you know, appreciated and not just tolerated, but, you know, really appreciated for the differences.
Yes.
It creates new mixes of what people really do, you know, what they notice, what they try out, and the breakthroughs that come through. I mean, it takes a lot. It usually takes a lot of experimenting. Right?
Yeah, I totally agree with that, Keith. This is so important. And your book is amazing. And I would love to know, how can people find your book? Where is it available? And how do we order it?
Okay, well, it's really, I could send you, you know, a link that might somehow be included later. I'm not going to hold up a link, but it's really easy to find because it's at Amazon, it's at Barnes & Noble, it's at various European and Asian booksellers. If you search for, I'm just going to do this one more time.
Yeah, it's a beautiful cover.
Oh, thank you. The quick story on that is, behind me, there's one of my paintings. So one of the ways in which I've explored other activities is to do photography and painting.
Oh, wow.
And when the publisher said, do you have any ideas for the cover? And so I created a kind of a collage, you know, that I thought was kind of interesting. And then the designers, the people really responsible at the publisher, came back and said, well, that's interesting, but how about that? So we went back and forth. And so we ended up with a design that seemed to include, you know, lots of complex moving elements and lots of combinations of things and some vibrancy, you know, some excitement.
Yeah. And it, sorry to interrupt you, it, you know, it triggers that, what the word that you are using, cascading. So it's actually reflecting on the cover. This is what I could see that, right?
Oh, well, that's beautiful. I know nobody has ever said that, but I think it fits perfectly. And so the one other tip, of course, there are other books, about, you know, kind of other topics that are called breakthroughs. But at all these booksellers, if you put in my name and the full title, Breakthroughs, Realizing Our Potentials Through Dynamic Tricky Mixes, it's easy to find as a paperback. It's easy to find as an ebook. If you or anybody else wants to have, you know, just a direct link sent to them, I'd be very happy to do that.
Oh, great. Awesome. I'm going to include the book link in the show notes section so that people can find your book there and order it. This is such an amazing conversation with you, Keith, and I really thoroughly enjoyed my time today with you.
Well, I absolutely, totally enjoyed the time too. I think that you bring to this conversation, and I'm sure to all your coaching and other activities, you bring an aliveness, you know, enthusiasm and a concern for the human condition that I think is beautiful.
This is a beautiful platform on this podcast where I meet wonderful, wonderful people like you, and I can learn from them. We can exchange information and knowledge and pearls of wisdom. So this is such an amazing thing that I'm so blessed that God has chosen me to do this kind of work. So thank you very much for your time today, Keith, and all the very best for your book.
Well, thank you, and all the very best in everything you do.
Thank you very much. Now, aren't you excited about experimenting with different paths in your corporate life? Connect with me on LinkedIn and let me know. That's it for this week. I'll see you next week. Love you guys and girls. Stay happy and safe. Thank you for tuning in. I invite you to subscribe to this podcast and go to my website, authorhina.com, for life and career changing tools and resources. Be sure to download and read my book, Secrets of the Six-Figure Employee with Zero Stress. It's available on Amazon.